Something like that. 3, 2, 1, let's jam. Welcome, everyone, to Burnt Out Coffee. I'm stagnating my words in hopes it makes us sound more interesting. Or everyone already clicked off and no one really cares about what I'm saying anymore. That is a big fear of mine. Oscar, do you think they're still here?
I wouldn't listen to you.
You're my fucking co-host. No, no, no. Damn it, I can't cuss in the first place. Like that. You wouldn't want to talk to me if I spoke like this to you in person.
We wouldn't be friends.
We wouldn't be friends. Got it. Well, people, I am now the friendless Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado. And with me is my begrudged, held at gunpoint and forced to be here co-host, even though we're not physically in the same room. We're states away. The amazing, the Oakwood Oscar Fernandez.
And I am a Wars fan, not a Kirk Love and Spock sucker like my co-host. So
I have not seen an episode of the old Star Trek. I just like the voice. I've never seen a full episode. I've just seen glimpses of stuff. It's like one of those things that permeates so much in pop culture that I know it through osmosis.
Bro, you gotta watch it. It's horrible, but like by today's standards, it's rough to watch because we're a younger generation and we can't appreciate shit. But watch it because there's so many episodes where they have like just random shit and they try to make it look like an alien. It's like, this is a cat, obviously, but we like glued some shit to it. And like the Tribbles episode is the best because all it is balls of fur and everyone pretends they're alive and they like jiggle them and like Captain Kirk gets like attacked by a few. It is hilarious.
Oscar, you say that, but that is us if we ever made a movie, made a show. That is us making this podcast.
I'm making everything two we movies do this summer, and that will be me.
That you're making two movies this summer.
Well, I'm making one. I'll be a part of another.
Yeah, you really haven't spoken about either one. Well, the one you can speak about. The other one you can't speak about, but the one you can speak about, even though we're being very cryptic about it.
There's no cryptic. I can speak about now, both. It's not a big deal. Like, the person who's making the other one has already announced it.
Facts. But let's wait a little bit to talk about theirs so you have something to talk about. Because right now, if I'm correct, they're just in pre-production. You're not even in production phase, correct?
Correct. He's getting everyone together, the cast and crew. The script has been made. We're going to go over it a few times and kind of hash it out and to kind of, like, finalize it and all that.
Like a table read?
Yeah, kind of. But he's pretty much fleshed it out. He's got editors and a producer lined up and everything, so it's
there we go.
This is gonna be a lot more legit than my piece of crap I'm gonna do.
But Oscar, that is everything we do is the less legit version of the non-legit version. We're the knockoff of the knockoff.
That is correct. We are the GoBots.
We're not even the GoBots. We're off more off brand. We're bots.
Just bots.
Just bots. Do they transform? And they transform our money into disappointment. Why did you buy this? Yeah. Bots.
You know how horrible that would be if like you bought Transformers, but they didn't transform? Like you had to buy a car, and you bought a robot, and they were like the same colors, so you knew that guy turns into that guy in the cartoon, but you can't do it in real life.
They're like, watch me transform. You have to basically be a magician, sleight of hand this shit. Watch me transform it. Oh, I didn't see you do anything. Huh? No, I didn't. What? No, it's cool. God, I would love that. I think that toy actually might exist. I'm pretty sure that toy exists.
That'd be a horrible toy. And on a side note, the Megatron Transmetal 2, the Chromatic Dragon, is probably the hardest transformer I have to transform. I always forget which way it goes, and it takes me a hot minute to change that guy.
Yeah, I know who that is. I know who Megatron is. I didn't know he could turn into a chroma. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Transmetals, they turn into like shiny parts, but this he went from a T-Rex to a dragon.
Okay. You're really like digging deep into like my memories of that. Because I was like, Transformer Beast Wars, I saw when I was so young. that like it's in the like some bits of it come to the surface, but if you ask me about key details, I couldn't tell you. One of them transforms into a rat, one's a cheetah, one's a gorilla. And I remember the opening episode where it explains how they got there. I don't know how it ends. I don't know anything.
Oh, it was super freaking awesome.
That's dope. We need to redo a Transformers episode, but I'm thinking in a year we should do one, or when something poppin' comes on Transformers.
Yeah, it had a really cool
plot twist. The Netflix one. We should do a review cast of the Netflix one.
Is it out yet?
No. That was pure disappointment.
I was going to say, hey, let's pause this. We'll do the podcast later.
Well, kind of a segue into our topic.
Things we cannot wait for.
That is actually kind of a topic because around the time this episode comes out, I have to do some math.
I don't do math.
Let me think. This week's is that
which
one.
Which is really bad.
Is that one. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, you are. Not this week. The week this comes out next week should come out, or like around that, a week and a half from then, should come out HBO Max.
Max.
The new streaming service in a already cluttered field of streaming services that when you pay for it all, you're like, God, how much am I spending?
Oh, the same I spent for cable. It all comes around full circle.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, streaming is not going to be different from cable. It's just evolving what TV is now.
But you know what it's doing though? I think it's condensing it, because all these small things are like, wait, we can't afford a streaming service, but if we join forces with these guys, we can.
That's what scares me. Like in the long run, it is just simplifying, like making major companies just stronger because they're like, we own this service. And if you, it's becoming like new cable companies.
Have you seen Demolition Man?
It's like, if you want to. Oh, yeah. Sylvester Stallone.
Wesley Snipes, yeah. Every restaurant speaks of that.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's it. And Parks and Rec made that joke too. It was funny. It was like in one of the episodes where they talk about the future. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, because the last season takes place. This is what's hilarious. At the time, it was the future, not really. They were just like mocking that it's the future. 2017, when it came out, I think was even the year 2017, or maybe just the year before. So they're making fun of what we believed it would be. But a lot of it was extremely accurate. They had a commercial where they're like, Chipotle, Exxon, Verizon have joined forces to make the new super company, Chipotle Exxon. You know, Chipotle, Exxon, Verizon.
I mean, we do have Square Enix. Close enough.
Yeah, that's close enough. Disney owns so many. We already had that topic. So HBO Max. If I'm correct, this is actually going to be the only streaming service that, not the only one, but one of the big ones, of the massive ones, that I'm going to actually have that you won't on launch date.
Why won't I have
If I'm correct. Yeah, like this is... You don't get it, folks. I love TV. He loves TV. I can watch it religiously, but I'm very frugal with my money. I'm like, I don't know. Is it worth it? Let me see. I don't know. Like, it took me a while just to get Disney Plus, and even that, I'm parasiting it off like someone else. I'm like,
the Flix, of course, Hulu, of course, yeah, and Amazon Prime, Disney Plus.
That's all you have?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, then I sound worse. Because it is through a combination of a team effort.
I don't watch enough stuff. That's the problem. Like, I don't watch enough TV.
I watch a ton. I have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, HBO Go, AT&T, Watch TV, even though that just comes free with the plan of like the phone we have. And so does HBO as well. Actually, I'm not even going to lie. It's easier for me just to pull out my phone than to try to do it on top of my head. Because it's its own folder.
And you also
I have
Crunchyroll and Verve.
That's actually going to be brought up. That's going to be brought up because it involves HBO Max. I have Dropout, like the College Humor one. I have Prime Video. I have AT&T Watch TV, Hulu, Netflix,
Disney
Plus.
So what you're telling me is you're the problem.
I am. I am 100% the problem. So...
We were just talking about like how like these giants are going to just basically turn back into cable. And you're like, yeah, I'm very frugal. but I have every single platform besides like Nick Jr.
In my defense, some of them come jointed with other. Like, I have Hulu because Spotify gives me Hulu. I have Amazon Prime because I just liked Amazon Prime. I don't do it for
Amazon Prime Video. Stuff like that.
That's the reason I do it. It's just like packaged on. I'm like, okay.
Actually, that's cool. Line.
The one, if I were to do anything, is how you say... I guess Netflix and Verve are like the ones like I went out of my way to personally get. And the reason I'm getting HBO Max is actually because of Verve. So, to give you some backstory, simply this. HBO Max, you know what it is, right? Yeah. But for the people who don't know, it's HBO's main streaming service. Of course, you go like, but they have HBO Now and Go. Well, fuck them. HBO Max is going to have all of HBO. It is going to have their own original content. It's going to have content from DC Comics, like DC's like own streaming service. It's going to have content from Cartoon Network, TBS, TNT. It's going to have also from other networks that were able to purchase the show rights. Like, for example, I think it was like Big Bang Theory and Friends. Is the one they're touting. They're going to have Crunchyroll. They're going to have Rooster Teeth. They're going to have as well as all of Miyazaki's films in America, so Canada.
They're really like, they're hoarding that Game of Thrones money, and now they're just going to throw it all out.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. And like, they're coming out with a whole bunch of original stuff based on existing properties within the stuff they have of Warner Brothers. And that's what I'm excited for. Like the Looney Tunes, new Boondocks, new Adventure Time movies.
Like every generation needs its Looney Tunes, and I felt bad for kids growing up because they didn't have Looney Tunes.
Well, there was one in between, that one we loved, with Daffy. That's the word. Daffy Duck as the Remember Wizard.
Wizard. Yeah, that one was pretty fun. But it was geared more towards the adults that enjoyed Looney Tunes. It wasn't as silly as the original Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it was very slice of life.
Yeah, I mean, they had like this homes is them, and grounded. Mortgages. And I'm just like, okay, we can relate to this because we enjoyed Looney Tunes as kids. And now we're all adults and we have this stuff now.
Yeah, and now kids can worry about mortgages and stuff when they watch it because they were like, it's going to hit you one sooner or later. Might as well hit you when you're young.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. I saw the trailer for it and it looks a lot better.
No,
I still
yeah,
enjoy
I agree,
it. Don't 100%. Get me wrong, but I'm talking about towards kids.
No. Like because you're speaking like as a father. You're like you can look at your son. And you're like you're gonna have your own Looney Tunes. You're good.
Yeah, I'd rather him watch Looney your Tunes son. Than like kid toy reviews and candy reviews on YouTube.
Yeah, like I
because they're not reviews. They're just like candy, so yummy, so good.
What kid are you watching? So yummy, so good.
No, it's a grown ass man.
Imagine originally like a French 5-year-old going, "Ooh, it's so good, so fine."
No, I don't know what now this imagine... nationality this guy is, but he does have an accent, and you don't see his face. You see him eat these different candies. So sour, so sweet, so good. And I'm like, why do you like watching this?
Hey, kids like it. He gets money. That's
and there's like another one where this like old lady. I'm assuming she's old. She got wrinkly hands, but like she plays with toys and does voices. And I'm like, dear God, kill me. Like.
But it's not meant for you. You got to realize that. That's like watching Nick Jr. and going, "Oh my God, this content."
You understand?
So
like, this is an old woman.
No, it's for
playing
kids
with like tiny toys and like doing like weird adventures, and like the production quality is crap. I feel molested. Is all I can say.
Can I tell you something? I literally was counting in my head like the seconds until Oscar's going to say the word molested in this sentence somewhere. I just feel it in the subject. I just feel it in my soul.
It's true, though. I do feel that way. I'm like, this is not appropriate for kids. I don't feel right. I don't feel safe.
Now your son doesn't have to watch that. Looney Tunes will save his life. Granted, when I was younger, I didn't watch any of the newer stuff. I watched a lot of the old stuff.
Well, that's because
that was just because my grandpa
grew in that generation where it was still available before they threw everything on Boomerang.
That is true. Like, we grew up before Boomerang. And plus, like, my grandpa would, like, always be like, "Oh, you gotta watch it!" Like anytime Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry, "Oh, Tom and Jerry, that man, my grandfather acted like Tom and Jerry was a gift from God. He's like, oh, Enrique, when I was younger, I would watch Tom and Jerry. I'm like, you're ancient. How long has this been on? My mentality, because when I was young, I was like, I have perpetually thought my grandpa was 75 to 80 since I was 5. I always assumed he was that. Anytime someone asked me his age, I'm like, he's like 75. I would be going from elementary school, and at high school, I'd be like, he's 75. They're like, didn't you say that like a few years ago? And I'm just like,
I mean, how old is that man? I felt the same way. I thought my grandparents were like perpetually 75 as well.
I think that's just a thing when you're a kid. You just see them as 75 forever.
Yeah, they're just old. So when the what's an old age? 75 sounds good because they don't look old enough to die yet. So I'm like, 75 is good.
Yeah. I'm like, he's talking, he's walking, he's having a good time. 75? 75.
The
granted,
yeah. The one thing though, because I have a Adler watching the 90s Spider-Man and X-Men cartoons, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know what, I grew up on this stuff, it'll be good for you. I turned out okay, not really. And I was watching him, rewatching him as a man, and I'm like, Peter Parker, you thirsty hoe. Like, this whole like show is just Spider-Man fighting bad guys and Peter Parker jumping from one broad to the next.
Oscar, I don't know how to break it to you. As a Spider-Man aficionado who has loved the series since a child and has read countless comics of him, that is just Peter Parker. His story is, my uncle's dead, I'm horny, and I got spider powers. Responsibility!
That's pretty much what it is. So I was like, you know
that
what?
That is Spider-Man.
I was thinking about like cartoons that were like, we were too old for. I wouldn't say too old for, because we'll always watch cartoons. But
yeah,
it was like the 2000s. So I was like, you know what? It was a mix between silly and like weird existential stuff that adults can enjoy. So I was thinking like Amazing World of Gumball, Regular Show, The
yes.
King, Adventure
mm-hmm.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, as a kid, I would enjoy this. But as an adult, I'd pick up on the subtle things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that's a good mix right there. And I was so excited to hear about these news for HBO Max, which I'm going to let you go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I already said most of it, like how they're having all these streaming services.
Oh, but you didn't say the best part.
What? I said the Adventure Time movie.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you did. Earlier. Yeah, I did. Oh. Okay, wait. I got you. Wait, my bad. I didn't say that. Oscar, drum roll. HBO Max is reviving Adventure Time in a series of mini-movies up to 4. The first one has been announced. It is BMO.
BMO?
Was that what you want?
That's what I wanted.
Is that what you want?
Exactly.
Okay,
perfect.
Gotcha. Got it.
Roll with it.
Thanks. Roll with it. We're idiots. So HBO Max is reviving a lot of series. Adventure Time is getting its own series of movies. Boondocks is coming back, which I love the show. As well as like so many stuff, honestly. Like, I'm excited to see.
Did you consider Boondocks anime?
No. Yes and no. Because I think I stated this before. Like, the argument I've heard that best describes my view on anime is Gigguk's video. He's on YouTube, where he describes anime more as a brand. Because this is going to be a quick sidestep. One thing that I always like bothered me is when people go like, get kind of like insulted when they go like there's a running meme of people going like anime, like they're watching anime and someone comes in and they're like, oh, you're watching cartoons, and they feel insulted. They're like, this isn't cartoons. I'm like, yes, it is. Literally, anime is cartoons. It's animation. You're just associating it with children's cartoons instead of realizing there is a vast world, even in America, of adult animations that are cartoons. Futurama is equally funny and is about realistic stuff. But the idea of anime not being cartoons is like blows my mind. I'm like, it could be mature or not. So the reason I say yes and no for the Boondocks is simply it is in the brand of anime. It is very heavily inspired. The animation style is meant to mimic it. It's meant to, it's obviously inspired, just like Avatar. But it's not technically anime because anime is Japanese animation, but is in the same brand. So it's just how you view anime in general.
I'm going to say yes, cartoons. It's anime. You know, it's
wow, it's just that easy?
It's a subgenre, ghetto anime.
No, it's not ghetto. Boondocks is not ghetto.
Ghetto anime. And I can't wait. I've been really excited for that. I'm sad that it only had what, 2-3 seasons?
Four? Yeah, I think there was four.
That was three. Okay.
That might be three. I know, like, the last season was, I think, without the creator.
And you could tell.
But this stuff, he is back.
Yeah.
Don't quote me 100% on that. Take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, so, like, they're reviving a whole bunch of stuff. Now, the reason I'm getting it is twofold. So, I have Verve, like I mentioned. Verve has been an amazing platform in my mind. It has Crunchyroll. So I never needed to pay for Crunchyroll in the sense of I have it with Verve. I had Funimation when it originally came out. That was like the main thing. I was like, I have the King of Sub and I have the King of Dub. Perfect.
Wow, that's a good
This is what point. I need. And then it had Rooster Teeth, which I'm a massive fan of. I was like, dope.
Not me.
It had Mondo, which is a like independent animation channel where it's like they grab from multiple sources around the world. It's not just like from America or something. And it had The Last Man, which is a fan. It is criminal that it's only on Verve in my mind, simply because it is phenomenal. I know you've never seen it because you don't have Verve.
But wasn't that show like regular TV?
No, The Last Man is based off, you're thinking of Last Man on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Last Man is based off a French, comic, which is also the way it was drawn and everything was inspired by, like, you could see by anime because, like, Japan and France have like that relationship. But, like, back to it, French comics are great. Quick side note, it's based off a French comic. The beauty of it is the show takes place before the comic because the show, if I'm correct, was kickstarted and fully became a full-fledged project. So they made the main character of the book his life before the events of the book, which is massively different because I watched the show first and went to the book. Basically, I won't draw you out with hours after me talking about why The Last Man and simply say, if you have Verve, it's criminal not to have it. That being said, Funimation has left Verve. They have High Dive. High Dive is fine. I enjoy it, but I've noticed my attention to Verve has been slipping a bit simply because, like, Mondo, like a lot of the channels they used to have, they don't have, and like a lot of stuff they haven't updated, even though they've been doing like partnerships with Nickelodeon to put all the old cartoons there, do a whole bunch of stuff. It was announced that HBO Max will have Crunchyroll and Rooster Teeth.
Ooh.
So I was like, and then they announced the pre-order price is just $2 more than Verve. So I was like, I'm going to put my Verve subscription on pause. And I'm going to use this time to decide, do I want to keep HBO Max or Verve? Because HBO Max has the DC shows I want to see. So supposedly they're going to bring Doom Patrol. I think they might bring like Harley Quinn. They're going to bring like the Young Justice. If they bring all that there, I'm like, I'm worried for like the DC subscription service. I'm worried for a whole bunch. I'm not worried for Crunchyroll because it's such a pillar that a lot of services rely on it. That I think it's going to be fine. HBO Max won't like destroy it. But these other ones, I'm very afraid. Like this can be like, because they're both owned by the same parent company.
DC AT&T is very niche. Owns. And mm-hmm. it's hard because like, I don't see Marvel surviving with just its own app or streaming service. Like they could do digital comics and things like that, but I don't think it's enough. So I think it was only a matter of time before DC got swallowed up by either like a WB like app or something like that.
Well, yeah, because they're all owned by the same parent company. AT&T owns Warner Brothers, and they also own like the parent companies of like Crunchyroll and stuff like that. That's why I'm afraid it's gonna die. But the DC app, the reason I thought it would survive is they have a very acclaimed constant flow of movies that are animated that are amazing. They have live action movies and stuff. But the thing with the service is, it was, in my mind, it was very smart who they geared it to. It's 100% for comic fans.
Yeah.
Because you also get the comic subscription. You know how like Marvel has their own? Mm-hmm. You also get DC's included in the app. So you can flip from watching shows, watching movies, to even reading comics digitally. Of like their full lineup. I thought it was smart. That's why I'm like, they might have a chance of surviving. But Verve, if HBO Max just takes more of the stuff they have,
it sounds like that's Verve's my gonna fear. Die.
I don't want it to, because I've have had Verve since it came out.
Either die or
since it came out. They just need to like up their exclusive stuff to Verve, or necessarily start branching out to other ones that like HBO wouldn't get. Like Mondo is their biggest thing in my mind. I think
it's gonna get swallowed up and assimilated into something else, probably.
No, yeah, that's my fear. That's 100% my fear. Because even me, who's like, oh, I've had Verve since day one, I love it, I'm already like, yo, HBO Max has the stuff, more stuff I want, and it has the stuff I like.
Hey, man, we all have to say bye to MySpace at some point.
Ah, yeah, I missed MySpace.
My mom still has a Hotmail account.
What?
Yeah, yeah, I had to email something for her for my son, and she gave me her email. I was like, Hotmail? What?
How? Okay, that's...
I think it was her first ever email, and she's never had anything else.
You know what? That's loyalty. Your mom's a loyal person.
No, she's computer illiterate, so she doesn't know how to create another email. That's the problem.
So you're saying the second she figures out Gmail, Hotmail's done.
No. Like, it's, you understand, it took me 15 minutes of yelling to explain her how to drag and drop. Over the phone, like literally just click on the file, hold it, don't let go of the mouse, click it, don't hold it, now drag it, muévelo to where you want it, the folder, the window, whatever, and then when it's where you want it, you let go, you drop it,
and so
it took 15 minutes.
So when I was going for like my computer science degree, I was specifically going for it was called information technology, but basically it was like I was going to be an IT worker. Like the way the degree was structured is you can either be, this is just the base of it, we're gearing you up to either be an IT worker at a company where you can fix and manage problems instantly. You need to understand how they work so you can fix it, and you're in charge of the infrastructure of companies, not necessarily like creating something, more of maintaining a structure.
Yes, and it's a there very was a shitty, whole boring job, but it is a necessary one.
Yeah, extremely. Like, yeah, I like working on computers and with computers. It's just like I think I already said the story. If not, basically, I want to write for a living, and I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money if I'm going to go to college for not what I want to do, even if it means it's going to take me longer to get to the career I want. But I'm willing to stick it out. That being said, I was in there, and one of the classes, like, for a legitimate 3 weeks, they were just teaching us, okay, this is how you're going to have to fix people's problems, and this is how you're supposed to talk to them. And I could just imagine you breaking everything they ever said instantly. They have, don't yell, Oscar, first thing again. Mira! Just click it. I can't see you being an IT worker, not for your knowledge, but for your temper.
I worked at a call service. Good job. I worked at one of those for 3 months, and one day I just got up and left because I couldn't take it anymore.
I remember you telling me that you were like, I just left. I went, what?
I needed money because I needed to pay for my car. That was the only bill I had, was my car at the time because I moved, and I still needed to get to work, so I needed a car. And so I worked there for 3 months, and I worked for a Medicaid Part D, which is prescription drugs. And so
I remember this.
We didn't call people and bother them, like, hey, would you like to take a survey? And
would you like a survey?
No. Old people called me to pretty much to redo their drugs for the year. So like they'd call and like, okay, I'm on this and that.
Refill prescriptions, gotcha.
Kind of. It was more of like their plan. So it was like they have these drugs they're on, and like give them the particular like bundle plan that's best for them. So if I needed to switch it to generics, I have to look up the generics and things like that. And then reset them up for the following year or so. And so we had to be on the phone for a minimum of 45 minutes with each customer. And I feel terribly sorry because these people, honestly, they like just wanted someone to talk to. They're old and lonely, and they would talk to me about anything and everything about their lives, about their grandchildren, about fishing, about the weather, everything but their fucking prescription drugs. And then when it was time to finally get to the nitty gritty, and it was so much like me just sucking up, like, oh, okay, and I would feel bad anytime they brought up Jesus or death, because then I'd have to be like, oh shit, I'm gonna be on this for like another hour, and I'd be super like complying, like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I completely understand. Oh yeah, blah blah. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Blah blah. And so finally, we get to the prescription drugs. And they would like rummage. I can hear them like rummaging through that crappy, like you know, how everyone has that like miscellaneous drawer.
Yeah,
I hear them digging through their miscellaneous drawer, just like, and they find their like bottle of pills, and they can't read the damn drug. It's either too small and they literally can't read it, or it's like a super long chemical name and they have no idea. I was like, okay, so let's just take a moment and spell it out. They're like, L. I, maybe a G, and I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. And so, like, our program was designed for this, so we would type in the first three letters, and it would give us a list of what maybe they're talking about. And I did that for 3 months, and I couldn't take it anymore. Like, I had to do things to, like, just keep myself, like entertained. Because I was so wanting to kill myself. Like, I know there was,
like,
the one time, it's horrible to say, but it was freaking hilarious, and no one can make fun of me because everyone knows it's true. So,
oh, God, everyone can make fun of you.
Yes, so, like, the telemarketing capital of the world is India. Everyone knows that. One of the prizes at my company was a trip to India to still work.
What?
Yes, you would get sent to the call center in India. You get to stay there for like 6 months, so you have a place and stuff like that they'd pay for, but you still had to work at a call center. So, like,
the greatest scam in the world!
So I pretended that I wanted this prize. So one day, I was so fed up because I had this, like, angry old man because he couldn't read his damn pills. And so, like, after I got off that call, I immediately got sucked into another call. Like, beep, beep, beep. Like, it was, like, ringing. I'm like, damn, I gotta answer this.
Hello.
Like, you know what? Screw it. I'm about to quit my job anyway. So, for the entire 35-minute call, I faked an Indian accent. And I thought I was gonna get fired. I was like, you know what? They're calling telemarketing service. Let's make it authentic. I'm gonna give them the whole thing. Whipped cream cherry on top. And so I did this, and instead of getting fired, all I see is my boss in the corner laughing freaking hysterically, almost on the ground. And then when the call is over, he walked over, he's like, hey man, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, like, he's like, this is all recorded. But that was fucking hilarious. He's like, I don't know how you walked out character for so long.
It's dedication.
Dedication.
It's hard character dedication. Work. It's hard character work.
The secret is I can only do two accents, Indian and Russian.
Oh my God, really?
Everything else I suck at.
Give me
No.
Give me Southern.
No, everything else I suck at.
You're not even gonna attempt it?
No, it's gonna be horrible.
You're like, no. Oh,
I did give me a good Godzilla, really? I lied a few times, because like this old guy, like I almost a chameleon. If I start talking to someone for too long, I kind of pick up their habits. So I like.
So it sounds like you're mocking them.
Kind of. I had this old Southern man, and I started like speaking in a thicker Southern accent.
He's like, wait, what kind of Southern? Like, he's like, I do declare Southern like this, or like
almost like racist, like not racist, but like stereotypical, like Foghorn Leghorn.
Now I do declare, so, like, you're talking about this kind of accent.
He started talking like that, and I started talking like that. He's like, oh, you sound like you're from blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I sure am. He's like, oh, did you go to school? Boy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, sir. And like just BS'd the entire freaking thing just to get that guy to give me his damn prescription drug list.
He's like, you sound like it. Are you Jennifer's son? Is this Roger?
They never got that.
Yes,
detail,
I'm Roger.
Yeah, I was.
You should.
Like, you don't understand. I had to be on the phone with them for so long, and they wanted to talk about everything but why they called.
Oh man, I so my main job I've always had was working at a restaurant. Simply because
he was a professional silverware roller.
That was one of my jobs for a year. Yes, 100%. And professional is correct.
I mean, if you did it for like at least 5 hours a day for a year, yeah, I mean, you're professional.
At least five. I was on my feet for like seven, and I was just rolling, listening to music. It was a job that, like, when you tell people, people look at you like, that sounds like you're not doing much. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But then when you're in the moment, you're like, I'm getting paid to just roll silverware, listen to music. And I was getting way overpaid at the time because I wasn't getting paid minimum wage. I made sure that because I kept asking for a raise and they kept giving it to me because they kept making up these fake goals. Like, oh, if we give you a raise, you're going to have like 10 bins at the end of the night, always consecutively. Of like, and you need to stack them rows of 10 to 10 and fill it all the way up. No, it was like 10 to 10 or 8 to 8. It was like something like that. And I was like, I can't go below 10. I was like, all right, that's easy. And I would do that. And then they're like, 12, I want another raise. 12, I want another raise. 14. To the point they're just like, we can't legally pay him more for this job. This is we're paying like, him more than some other people.
Doing real work in this restaurant. Making a lot less than you. We can't pay her anymore. That's what they kind of tell
him. They're like, you know, for the job, the way that my boss came to me, he was like, so for the work you do, we shouldn't pay you. And I was like, oh, this is just some lie. That when I transferred to another restaurant in Austin, like it was owned by the same company. When I transferred there, they looked at my sheet and they were like, oh, there was a mess up on the transfer. It didn't send you the numbers. I'll call to confirm all this, but can you tell me your numbers? Like, because there was different job codes. And by then I was like, to go QA. I was like, I had a server code, even though I didn't serve. It was just in case I need to pick some stuff up. So I was just like all around, like morning, like I was doing every job. I had a code for everything simply because I was like a body who could fill stuff. When they went there and I went, oh, and I went for Civil War, I got paid this much. The boss literally went, okay, no, for real. I went, no, I get paid this much. And he went, I'm calling your restaurant. Called my boss and he went, yeah, that's it. That's how much we paid him. He was like, why? He was like, put him one day on there. Just one day. And I looked at my boss in the eye. I was like, if you put me one day back there, I'm leaving. It was so crushing. I was like, I don't care how much I get paid. I love the job because I got to listen to music and everything. But there's a point where on your 6 hour, you're looking at the same white wall, like straightforward, just rolling silverware. You just go comatose, and then you just forget the night.
You're going to turn to Kingpin.
You stop living.
Just staring at this damn white wall, and you're going to start killing people.
It's not even that.
You're just going to snap to it, and like, all you're going to see is like a lobby full of people with forks in their heads.
No, the moment that got me, like the real legitimate moment that got me, that I was like, I need to find another job, was I was rolling somewhere, and I could do it where I would just like, because when we say roll, it's literally like a blunt roll. You would just roll it up like that. I could do it where you were like,
never
fold,
blunt,
fold,
okay.
And you push. I just pushed it and it would roll itself. I set up a section of, I'm trying to, like, this is testing my memory. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Because I had a system. Like, I would go like, napkins, like, you think I'm joking. I was like, napkins take this much space on the board, but if I put this one, its forks take up this much space on the napkin, so theoretically I could stack four napkins side by side to each other, only showing like 2 inches free to fit the fork and the knife in there, allowing me to roll 64 of them on the same table that I'm on, because the table's this long. I set that up, put it in there, and started rolling, and I never looked down. I was talking to someone the entire time. I just didn't look. And they looked at me like I was a monster. They're like, what is wrong with you? Is this your calling in life? Is fucking silverware? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, you haven't looked down once. I went, the next day I went job hunting.
Wow.
But then when you go job hunting, you get the courage to like say whatever you want at work. And I went to the boss, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to get paid more. I want to get paid this much. I want to be moved here. You know, like, I want to be a QA to go, and I want to get paid like above what you start off them, because right now I'm making above that. So I want to make an extra on what I make on here. And he went, okay. I just went, what?
People, oh, no, you guys don't understand. This happened like 3-4 times. And every time Enrique would tell me, like, yeah, this is what happened, I'd be like, what? Why? Why do they give you more money?
I don't know. Like, it's funny because, like, that time I had another job lined up already.
I remember.
Yeah, and I just went, hey, I can't take this job because you guys, I didn't tell them this, but the truth was, you guys are going to pay me not even close to what these people are going to pay me for the work I do. And I'm going to start making tips off of that. So I don't know what to do.
So
bye.
Based upon what we're talking about, I actually had an epiphany today.
Okay.
So I work at a metal fabrication company. And I'm one of their programmers. And so I get paid nothing crazy, but decent, okay? I can afford my home, car. I don't have any debt. Like, you know, I'm living comfortably.
Yeah, you have a few luxuries, like just like you could treat yourself every once in a while. Yeah,
you know, I mean, we're like probably lower middle class. I mean, like, you know, it's nothing crazy. But so yeah, so I was like, you know what? I still follow my passions and I still draw a lot. I loved doing it. And I thought about myself, I'm like, you know what? What if I get that job, that illustration gig, and like, do I quit this job? And I've been conflicted about that because I'm older now, I'm 30. And the thing was like a lot of things have changed and my passions have still been the same, but the way I look at things has changed dramatically. So from the age of, I want to say about 6, all the way through high school, I wanted to be a combo penciler. My goal was to, you know, go to art school, work for Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, whatever, and draw for them and live out the rest of my days being a combo penciler. That was my goal in life. And so the older I get and the more I'm going down different career path, the more and less likely it's going to be. Not impossible, just less likely. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at these careers, and I've talked to plenty of guys in the industry, you know, working at cons and things like that, I met a few people. It's networking. Once you have a job, you have to look for another job. You're working for IDW one day, you're working for DC the next, you're doing freelance stuff, commissions, da-da-da-da. You're kind of all over the place. You're working the circuit to make more money. And I'm like, there's a lot of variables to that. And it's just like, I've seen guys and I talk to them and they just seem burnt out. No pun intended. They seem weary. They seem tired. Mm-hmm. And they just like, you know what? Like, I'm living my dream job, but like, I'm just drawing other people's stuff. And some people love that. Mm-hmm. Like, growing up, I used to love drawing Batman, Spider-Man, The Flash, you name it. And I realized what my turning point was, and I just like working for myself, and I get a high, sort of like a sense of exhilaration when I complete my own stuff, like a project, whether it's my game or just a one-shot illustration, but it's my original ideas, and it's coming to fruition, and once it's done, I feel accomplished. And so I was just like, you know what? Like, even if I get a gig, I'll work on it, but I won't quit my main job. Like, I enjoy what I do, and it's not worth leaving that for something that's not secure. And I still like drawing, but for myself. Like, I still do stuff with you, like, you know, like projects, like, you know, half these comics, I don't write the stories. And but I do enjoy it because it's unique. It's something that we create. And I and like as I'm older, I don't think I would be happy if I had to spend 3 years contracted to draw 40, 50 issues of Spider-Man. I don't have any input in the story. I get input on the design and the flow and the way that, you know, everything looks, but it's like, it's not my character. And I don't feel like I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't satisfy me anymore. And I realized what the turning point was. I started playing D&D. And in D&D, you have to make up your own stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was then I like truly started world building and creating stories and things like that. and immersing myself in my imagination and really building upon it. And that's what I truly enjoy now. So I really don't like strive to be like, oh, I got to get in the industry. I got to do this. I got to do that. I just want to be able to do my projects and make them come to life, like put them on the market and things like that. But
yeah, do what you want.
I really don't even care if they're that successful. I just really want them to be complete the way I want them to be and then release them into the ether and see what happens after that.
That's good, man. And it was that's like legitimately good.
And it was like a crazy realization. I'm like, I don't, because I draw to be happy. Like, it makes me happy. And when I'm working on stuff, my ideas or our ideas, like these original ideas where we get like these creative juices flowing, that's when I'm at my most happiest, when I'm creating and drawing. And I'm like, I want to continue that. So like Kevin Smith is not the most renowned director, not the most wealthy director. His movies don't make a lot of money.
But he's still wealthy.
Yes, yeah, he's still, yeah, he's got money. You know, that's not a thing. But, you know, he's not Steven Spielberg money, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm no not saying like no he's one's like
throwing big projects at A-list him. He goes to people all the time, Netflix included, and he throws out ideas, and they downshoot it a lot. Like, I hear him all the time. Yeah. He's like, I do meetings, like, every now and then, and they never say yes.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, you know, but he does things for himself. You know, he's not looking for, oh, you know, I wouldn't even call it selling out, but it's just like, let me find as many IPs as I can get my hands on, which is funny because he's doing Master of the Universe now, but he's doing it respectively. He's getting people who are passionate about it, have the knowledge of it.
He's doing it because he wants to.
Exactly, because he likes Master of the Universe. He's a big fan of it. So it was just this like weird realization I had in my life where it's just like, I don't need that because I no longer like kind of want it. I don't have that itch, that hunger for it like I used to. Like when I was younger, like in middle school, high school, like I was like, I have to work for Marvel. I have to work for DC. All I want to do is draw this. And now that I'm older, I'm just like, I just want to work on my ideas. And because I'm in a spot in my life where I'm kind of comfortable, it's not like I need the money. And I'm not unhappy with what I do, so I'm like, huh. I just get an excitement and a high from just creating. And I'm like, that's sort of being happiness, that's content. And I'm just like, huh, this is what it's like to grow up.
Yeah. Well, kinda, yeah. Like, it's not like understanding like you can't reach what you want. It's understanding that what makes you happy may not have been the thing you've been striving for this whole time.
Exactly.
It is a variation of it, but it's not the thing you thought of.
And like, and that was the thing. I was just like, I would be thrilled to draw like some IP, like, oh, Oscar, come draw this Flash comic. I'm like, hell yeah. I'd be super excited for it. I love the Flash. But like, I don't have like the drive or like to pursue it. I'm just like, if it happens, it happens, but I really just want to work on my ideas. That's where I'm hungry for. And I'm just like, and that's what keeps me going with this whole burnt out thing. I was like, I really enjoy it. And I'm just like, huh, this is like a weird realization. I guess I've known this, but I never like understood it until today. Like literally today, as we're recording this. And I'm just like, this is a weird sensation.
Yeah, it's a lot of people like to think like they have an understanding of where they are. Like even now, where I believe where I want to go is where I want to go. I have I feel like I have a strong understanding of where I want to go for my career, what sacrifices I'm willing to make, what things I have to do and won't do. But who knows what will happen years down the road? Maybe my view of what I wanted will change. I know, but like, I know what I want. It's because I'm a driven person. But like for you to come to a realization of what you want is very, like, I don't know. I'm trying to find the right word. It's, I bet it feels kind of calming.
Understanding. Because at first I was like, no, you're just like settling, you know, because you're in this situation in your life. You're like, oh, you know, I'm just going to settle and not worry about this anymore. I'm going to pursue this instead. But it's like, I thought about it, you know, deeply today, and I'm like, no, because I like I haven't even, like, I don't remember the last time I even drew, like a big IP. Like, you know what? I want to draw some sample pages of a comic and do.
Oh, like, you mean that? I was going to say, didn't you draw Star Wars like a day ago?
Oh, yeah, it's because of Star Wars. I had to do my piece, you know? Okay, the war's different.
Sorry, didn't mean to derail.
But like, you know, like I used to do like some sample stuff. I'm like, you know what? Like I did like a Plastic Man one time, like a few years back. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I haven't like had an urge to draw any of these characters.
No, yeah, that's fair.
I'm just like,
that's 100%
fair. I've only like strived to work on my own original stuff. And I'm just like, that's what I've been pursuing and that's what I'm hungry for. And I'm just like, huh.
Then all it is just shifting that drive you had for the passion you had for the other one to your new passion. That's really all it is. It's not, you're not settling if you are working just as hard on this new idea of what your happiness is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then
it's not settling if you're choosing, it's only settling if, no duh, it's the word, if you choose to settle in that position. But if you choose to work hard to maintain this happiness and this ideal version of what you want it to be, then it's fine.
Yeah.
It's working hard.
It was just like it was a few years back where I understood the difference between happiness and excitement. Happiness mm-hmm. is being content. It's being content with what you have, the way your life is, how you feel, your relationship, whatever it is. It's just contentment all around. That's happiness. Excitement is fleeting. And people mistake the two. So they're always striving for happiness, trying to get that high. But that's really excitement. And mm-hmm. you can see people get stuck with that with, like, drug use and things like that. Or even when they're in relationships, if, oh, it's no longer exciting, let me find some other person over here where it feels exciting mm-hmm. again. They don't know what happiness is. They just understand that rush, that excitement. But if you can understand what makes you happy, what makes you content, that excitement mm-hmm. stuff is good when it comes, but you don't go through that like sort of like sugar crash is what I'll call it. Like when it's no longer there, you're just like, oh, everything's still fantastic. So it took me mm-hmm. years to realize the difference between that even. So it's just like little step by steps.
Yeah, it's understanding of what knowing your long term goals are, like, in the sense of like what will continuously make me feel good and what will just be a fleeting moment, because like our views are like extremely similar, but like they're also like different in the sense of like you're like, I don't want to work on other IPs. I'm like, well, me personally writing, I want to work on the majority of mine, but I have no problems working on like a contracted work of someone else's or anything if I'm writing a story I want to write, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you
Like looking like using your example of Kevin Smith, he wants to write He-Man. He's not being forced to write He-Man.
He's just a showrunner.
Okay, well that's a big title. But what I'm saying is like he's showrunning He-Man because he wants to showrun.
Oh yeah, he's no, not but he's being got pushed a lot in of a his corner. Favorite writers working on the stuff. So I mean he's definitely that's in what control I'm saying. And has a say of what's going on.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like it's that mindset of like that's how I personally feel too. I want to work on the majority of my stuff, but at the same time, like,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind working on something else. That doesn't lessen I understand that.
I'll be like, heck yeah, I want to make up my own story about Spider-Man. I want to put my input and show the world like what I think Spider-Man is. But as an artist, I'm just like, oh, you're writing your story and I will have to.
No, yeah, I understand. No, I understand that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying for me personally.
No, and I totally get that. Like, I'm like, you go
then.
Go spin some stuff because there's a lot of superheroes out there that need some help.
But no, like as a writer and an artist, that's what I'm saying. Like, I get where you're coming from because it is a different thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, for like my own personal happiness, I don't mind working on something because it's different areas. And like, there's some artists I know, like, whose only goal is to really work on someone else's IP. Like, because they're like, I want to draw, not create, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and
when I say create, I mean like create original work.
Yeah,
they want to work on something established because they're not necessarily thinking, I want to start something, I want to start the foundation of something new. They want to build a stronger version of the thing they love.
And that's what I'm saying. It's people's mentality. Some people, you know, aren't very creative. They can't come up with stories. They're not writers. They're not storytellers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I mean...
And that's fine.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. It's just different mindsets. I happen to be... Exactly. Like, I love world building. I love creating stuff. That's half the exactly. fun for me.
Exactly. And, like, that's good. Like, you have an understanding of what you want. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's good that you have an understanding of this because it's allowing you to now... grow in the direction that you actually want to, and it's very like
God. I'm gonna be like freaking Jack Kirby. I'm not gonna be like doing what I want to do or famous for until like I'm 45.
Well, that's how it is. Like that's why you build a foundation now of your thing new. Because like me personally, like as a writer, like I'm trying to build a foundation of me creating the stuff I want, while as well as like showing like because like, I'm in the part of my career where I'm like. I want to build all the comics we make together, all the comics I write and like self-produce and stuff like that. Like these are my stories. These are like the stuff I do. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm also very aware that I want to work on other people's stuff because like for you, my content comes from, I will be fine once I can make a living solely off the things I do.
And I have that most confidence in you because even on your worst days, your writing is not as bad as episode 9.
Why do you always bring up episode 9?
Because no, like I don't know how that passed any editor's table. Because anyone who could write at all would have realized this doesn't make sense at all.
Oh my god, I feel like 5 years from now you're gonna be like episode 9 wasn't as bad as people say. You know, I never felt it was bad.
No,
I don't know why I gave you that accent.
They've announced so many good things. They're bringing back good old Georgie boy, and they're retconning a bunch of shit.
I'm actually excited to see what they do next. And we're kind of like gearing up on our time. So because like you had like that moment, I want to give you like before we go into the house cleaning, any like fleeting thoughts, any last like
punctuation? I'm kind of mad. This episode is very informative, kind of deep into like how we are as creatives. I think we need like some more titty jokes. Like I don't feel like this is a good burnt out episode without more humor. I'm sorry, guys. I think I failed you.
Yeah, well, we got a good people got like a retrospective on how you feel about like being a creative and like understanding your journey, and you just got to hope people find like something out of it. And as for the titty jokes and the humor, so let's go into the house cleaning. We're just gonna skip past everything and just gonna do a sharp turn. Why don't we make this fun? Why don't we jump back and forth between the house cleaning? I say one thing, you say the other. All right, and let's see if you can remember. It sounds fun to me because it means half the work. Let's start off with the easy stuff. Hey guys, if you enjoyed this, I hope you really did. It was actually a really fun episode for me, honestly. Then you should check us out and follow us on our social medias. Specifically, Oscar is at Oscar Farts. That is Sorry, can't stop. I'm 5. It is OscarFartz because he lives in the 90s. Hey, and you can find him on Instagram.
Best decade for cartoons.
And I'm at Ryder Rosado on Instagram and Twitter. But right now, actually, by the time this episode comes out, guess what would happen, Oscar? You're not going to guess. The first issue of the
Soul Bean thing, coffee.
Yes. Well, I'll let you jump to what we're going to do, what happens on Burnt Out Comics. But on our Instagram and Twitter, at Burnt Out Duo, you will see the first two releases of our webcomic on there. We're starting fresh from there. 6 months behind because it is a way we're always posting on Webtoon and Tapas, but it's a way of pushing content out there to other people while giving an incentive to come to Webtoon and Tapas because that is our home right now for our webcomic. But if you go to our Instagram or Twitter at Burnt Out Duo, you will see the first two updates of Burnt Out Comics, which is Treat Yourself. You'll see them. We're posting there regularly now. It's like a way to get people in there as well as, you know, not everyone has a Webtoon Tapas, but we want to make sure you see our work because, like Oscar said, we just want people to enjoy it and spend it out. But Oscar, what is this Burnt Out Comics I keep talking about?
So we are the Burnt Out Duo, and we are a team of creatives that like to create a bunch of silly stuff, including webcomic series called Burnt Out Comics. And you can find that on Webtoon, Tapas, and like he said, soon on Instagram and Facebook. Now, we did a few runs of our earlier stuff, some short anthology series. And coming up is a special guest. Our good friend is going to be illustrating instead of myself. I'm working on some projects behind the scenes, which we've discussed already. And so her first set is coming out this week.
Yep, it is. The artist is Rikita Rosado, and she is starting us off on Bitter Soul. Yep. It is a it's written by me, so like it's weird and kind of out there, and I love that about it. And if you want to see her artwork and you want to catch up when she's doing it, she is at Keeda Draws. That is KEEDA_draw.
And I had a long discussion with her the other day, and we were tossing back some ideas. I gave her some ideas of what not to do because I made lots of mistakes. And she gave me ideas of what I should be doing. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll hop on that.
That's good. I like my fear. When I heard that, I was extremely happy. But then I instantly went to, what do you say about me?
Oh, we talked massive, I know shit, awesome. Massive shit.
I can feel it in my soul. I know. I don't know if she did. I know you did.
Oh, we laughed. And I know we laughed. And we laughed.
If you want to support us, you can check out our Patreon. If you like what we do, if you are enjoying.
And before that, like even just something simple, like subscribe, the little bell thingy, hit all those buttons. Mm-hmm. And if you truly enjoy us, go ahead, Enrique.
If you truly enjoy us, thank you for that. Follow us on Patreon. Shit, I ruined the perfect launch you gave me.
I know.
You can check us out on Patreon at Burnt Out Duo as well. Why go to our Patreon? Well, we do have rewards. We're not just like asking, hey, can you give us some money? Even though that's tier one. What we're really focusing on is giving you content that is like constantly coming a little bit ahead and extra. All the money we get from this is to fuel our passion. Every money.
All the berries and bells.
All the berries and bells in the land. I got to fill Tom Nook's hands. We got to pay our debts. All the money we get is simply to continue pushing our passions forward. We want to like pay the people who work with us. We want to make sure everything is going good. So what you get from it is you can get comic pages of Burnt Out Comics, all of our other projects, earlier. You get to see that. You get to see sneak peek. Words are not good today. You get to see sneak peeks of all the works we're doing. You get access to our warm-up. What is our warm-up? Well, right before this, Oscar and I had like a little 10 to 15 minute conversation where we just kind of used it to get our blood flowing, get like the verbal juices really going, and record it. And you get to listen to it 5 months ahead,
which funny enough straight had less stuttering months than our actual episode.
Yeah, that pisses me off. Actually, I don't know. I remember this episode. We did that a lot in this like warm up, and you could hear it 5 months ahead than everyone else on our Patreon, as well as the comic pages. 5 meses también. Tú puedes ver the comic pages because I'm not going to keep that going because you're going to ridicule me.
Oh yeah, you guys understand it's rough.
I want everyone to know my Spanish is correct. It's good. It's great.
I cringe. Your mother cringes. My mother.
No one cringes.
My mother honestly thought you were speaking Mandarin.
I hate you. Where was I going with this? Yeah, you get to see our comics early. You get access to extra bits of our podcast.
Oscar is working on something special. I haven't even told Enrique.
What?
Yeah, that's right. I'm working on merch, baby.
Oh, shit. Okay. I did not. What do you mean? What?
I'm talking like mugs, shirts, catchphrases, scree honk, like the whole nine yards.
This is not a joke. I legitimately am like blindsided. What? Dope. That sounds dope to me. As soon as we got something and find it, we'll let y'all know, apparently. As well as, I thought you were going to say something else. If you like the stuff we say, make sure to follow us. I also have a book series out called Shore and Shore Balance. That's on Amazon. I think with that, that surprise ending, I think that's I think that's our episode.
Yeah,
you feel good? Okay. Then Oscar hit him with our most famous catchphrase. Hit him with...
What'd you say?
Our famous catchphrase.
Oh, our famous catchphrase? Actually, I wanted to sit down with you, and I think we should come up with an official catchphrase. But until
an official
catchphrase? Yeah, like, you know, something like we can put on a t-shirt.
So sell ourselves. Okay, exactly. let me try
sell
one.
Sell our souls.
Let me try one.
I already have your catchphrase.
Oh God, no! I don't want you. You're mean. You're mean.
I'm not mean. It is something we've used for years.
Oh no! No! Not what I'm thinking of.
I don't know what you're thinking of. It ain't
that bad. Oh God. Oh God. I don't want to say it yet. I'll leave it as a surprise for people if I'm right.
Well, until then, thank you all for listening. Can't wait to see y'all next week. And until then, scree honk.
We used that one before. Yeah, scree honk. Fucking true.